Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts, chapter 20, last message, we covered the end of chapter 19, and the apostles spent a lot of time, the missionary team spent a lot of time in Ephesus, and while he was there, he wrote the letter to 1 Corinthians, the first letter that we have in the scriptures. And we walk through that, we come back for just a little bit in the book of Acts, and then we'll be jumping into another letter. And tonight we're actually going to look at a little extra time, because there's a lot that happens, there's not a lot of details. And so Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, what we're going to cover, which covers a lot of travel and a lot of period of time, but I think we need to get the whole thing to get the context. Paul ended his letter to Corinth, which dealt with all kinds of serious issues, their carnality and tons of confusion that they had there. But he ends that letter really with a focus on loving others and serving others. That's really the thrust as he wraps it all up, focusing in on that loving others and serving others. And we're going to see some more details here in Acts chapter 20 about how we need to love one another. And so let's pray together, and then we'll read the text tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another day, for the opportunity to live and move and have our being. And I pray that you would help us by your grace and by the power of your Spirit to use every day that we have for your glory. Thank you for the blessings of each day and just of life, the opportunities we've had today to gather with the saints, to worship your holy name, and to encourage one another, to fellowship together around the Word of God. And I pray that you'll bless your Word tonight, that you, your Spirit would just guide us into all truth, teach us, help us to know you, help us to love you and to love one another by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, as always, I pray that you'll help us to be real disciples, continuing in your Word and bearing much fruit for your glory. May the number of the disciples be multiplied in this place. And Father, may we see churches multiplied around the world for your glory and for the furtherance of the gospel, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So here we have this historical narrative and just a lot of just really basic stuff. We were there, we went here, and that's what he's laying out for us. We're going to see some details, I hope, tonight that will encourage us in the business of loving one another. Let me get a couple of technical things out of the way real quick. Remember that what was going on at this time, where they were trying to gather together and it had been going on for some time. Remember, Paul told the Corinthians, take up your offering for the saints at Jerusalem, and I've given that commandment to the churches of Galatia as well. You guys remember that? Okay. And so what was going on is he had been working for some time through the churches all around to gather up funds to go back and give to the poor saints at Jerusalem who were struggling there. And so that was really the thrust, really the focus. And what's happening now, remember he told them at Corinth that I'm hoping to take some of you with me. And he had done that in other places as well. And now we see this team that he was putting together, and there were going to be representatives of churches from all over where churches had been established and strengthened over the years. There were going to be representatives from all of those churches going with him back to Jerusalem, not just to give them money, but to give them love and encouragement and support to see them face to face and say, we love you and we're praying for you and here's some things to help you. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. And listen, it was different back then, right? They couldn't start a GoFundMe. Right? There was, let me, I don't want to miss the older crowd. There was no Western Union. I don't want to miss anybody, right? I mean, we've had, even, I don't care how old you are here tonight, most of your life there have been ways to send money to people all over the world somehow, whether it's a wire transfer or a money order or something. There were ways to get money places in the world very quickly. Today, like, you just Venmo somebody or whatever. Amen?
Amen.
So it was different then. And it took a long time to get the funds together. It took a long time to get the people together. But it wasn't just about the money. It was about the people. And there was a desire to see them face to face. And so check this out. There's somebody who's been away from the group who comes back into the group. Notice in verse 3, it says, "There abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him," Paul, "as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia." So he wanted to sail back and make his way back to be there in time for Passover, but he couldn't sail there because the Jews were waiting for him, so he had to go over land to get there. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater, Berea, and these other guys. And then it says in verse 5, "These going before tarried for us at Troas." Do you notice the difference in the pronouns? He's talking about he and they, and then he says us and we. So now Luke has come back into the team. Luke had been serving elsewhere. Now Luke's back in the team. And so now you've got Luke, these other men that are mentioned, and they're all going together, making their way eventually back. Now, he had wanted to get back for Passover, but he wasn't able to, so they ended up having Passover at Philippi, and then they would go on to celebrate Pentecost, making their way back to Antioch for Pentecost. And so he still was observing some of these feasts, and he was wanting to be with certain churches when he did that. Now, just a few things to notice about the apostle's love for others. His love was evident in how he lived his life. Love isn't something we say. Love is something we do. His love was evident. He labored by God's grace for others. Remember 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And how did he labor? He labored in loving others and serving others and preaching the gospel to others and teaching others. He labored in instructing them in the way of God so that they would know the Lord and walk with the Lord and live for the Lord and do the work of the Lord. That's what he did. His love was made evident in how he lived his life. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. He says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." His love was made evident. He labored by the grace of God, and he labored night and day. He says, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." In other words, as a mom will care for her newborn child, her baby, as she will provide for that baby and take care of that baby and nourish that baby so it will grow, that's what they did for the saints spiritually. Can I get any testimony tonight that caring for babies is hard work? All these guys are like, "Amen, that's right, it's real hard." And all the moms are like, "How would you know?" My brother-in-law got some great sage advice from his dad. When Steve first had kids, he said, son, he said, listen to me. When that baby starts to cry at night, you just lay real still and pretend like you don't hear it. And Steve said, so that's what I did. Listen, taking care of babies is hard. You don't know what tired is until you have a newborn in the house. And I don't know as well as my wife does. I'll confess. Sometimes dad just can't do anything. Dad's no help. So, I mean, he might as well roll over and go back to sleep. Can't help anyway. You don't know what exhausted is till there's newborns in the house. They require an enormous amount of work. He's not joking when he says laboring night a day. And that's what they did spiritually. And obviously that spiritual work required physical effort. And he's, by the grace of God, we work night and day, literally working to make a living for themselves so that they weren't chargeable to the church, and literally working night and day to preach the gospel to them so that Christ would be formed in them. And he was laboring, and his love was evident. He said, we were affectionately, in verse 8, affectionately desirous of you. We were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, or our own lives, because you were dear unto us. We were willing to give our lives for you so that you would know Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. You guys are familiar with this passage, but it's hard to talk about how these apostles, how these missionaries, how this missionary team was willing to spend and be spent without looking to this. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Amen. Paul's saying, listen, these other false teachers that are coming in, they can say whatever they want to. And he said, they're being foolish, so I'm going to speak as a fool too. Let me tell you where I'm coming from. Because I have given my body, I have given my life, I have risked my life in every way imaginable so that you would know Christ, so that you would love Christ, so that you would live for Christ. Amen. He was willing to give everything. And he says, listen, forget about all that stuff on the outside. Every day, the weight of caring for all of the churches of Christ comes upon me. And he was burdened beyond what we can comprehend for not just one church, but every church he had invested in, every church that he had established, every church that he had confirmed and strengthened, every church that he had visited. He had a burden for those people to walk with Jesus. He loved the brethren. And his love was evident by how he lived his life. His love for others wasn't short-lived. It wasn't a flash in the pan. And his love for others wasn't exclusive to one people group. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, he says, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He's like, I'm not coming so that you'll give me a gift. I'm not interested in what you have to give me. I'm interested in you. Amen. In you, in your life for Christ because I am glad, very glad to spend and to be spent, to give what I have and to give all I have for you. In Romans 10 and verse 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." His desire was to see the Romans, the Jews saved. His desire was to see the Gentiles saved. His desire was to see everyone walking with Christ. Amen. Philippians 1:8, For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 4:19 and 20, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." And it didn't matter if they were newborns in the faith, or they'd been established in the faith, or they had, like the Galatians, had started well and then turned away from the truth of the gospel. Whatever condition they were in, he loved them. Whatever condition they were in, he desired to see them and to be with them and to encourage them in their walk with Christ. So we see throughout all the letters his love for them. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, this is convicting to me as a pastor. What month is it? September. Sorry, the months are getting away from me. This year's going by a little too fast for me to keep up with. Every year, churches around this country, especially, but around the world, they'll celebrate Pastor Appreciation Month, because we have a month and a week for everything under the sun now. And you guys are always super kind to me, and I'm thankful for that. But I start studying stuff like this, and I want to tell you that I feel like I have done nothing and do nothing to be appreciated for. The Apostle Paul stands. As a great testimony of what a Christian should do in loving others. Amen. Not just a pastor, but all of us. It always reminds me of what the Lord said to his servants. When we've done what he tells us to do, when we've done what the Lord commands us to do, that we would just say, "We are unprofitable servants. Amen. We have done what was our duty to do. We did what we were supposed to do." Praying, preaching, teaching, working, traveling, risking his life day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, spending and being spent for others to know Christ. I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, while we ought to love and appreciate each other, and while you ought to love and appreciate your pastor,
amen. Amen.
I'm afraid we've all gotten a little bit soft,
amen,
compared to these people,
amen,
who serve as an example for us. Let's not forget that the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are built on the foundation of Christ,
amen,
and the apostles,
right,
that their example stands as a testimony for us to aspire to,
amen,
that we should strive to follow the example that Scripture has given us,
amen,
not just in what it says, but how they lived,
amen,
how they lived out the gospel. And by the way, just to wrap that thought up, I think, like we need to, he did it by the grace of God. Paul didn't do any of this in his own strength. He didn't do it in his own ability. He did it as a man filled with the Spirit of God. And he said, "Listen, I labored more than everybody else, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me."
Amen.
All right, go back to Acts chapter 20 and verse 1. Very quickly, let me give you three examples of his love. In verse 1, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." He embraced them. Our love for one another should be evident in our actions. We talked about a lot of the things that he did. But listen, we talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago. We ought to love each other.
Amen. Amen.
I had the joy of going to a family reunion yesterday. How many of you love family reunions?
Amen.
Anybody? Like two of you? God bless you. I see those hands. I won't ask how many of you don't love going to family reunions. Family reunions are a lot of fun. Some of you are like, yeah, it's great. We get to see all the cousins on both sides. Some of y'all get that one later. I love seeing family. We don't get to see very often. I genuinely do. We make a lot of jokes about family reunions, but I've told you guys before, my family, I come from a family of huggers. Some of you don't. I heard a story today, I don't know if it's true or not, that somebody gave Bill Don a hug this morning. And I would give a lot of money to have seen a video of that. Some people are huggers, some people aren't. But when I was growing up, when you go to grandma's house, the first thing you do when you get out of the car, mom says, go give everybody a hug. That's what you do. And when it's time to go, you cannot get in the car to leave until you've given everybody a hug. That's just the way it was. It's the way we were raised. Some of you aren't like that. I understand that. But can I just say this? When you love someone, there's usually some form of affection for them. And Paul had an understanding, of course, he was leaving, and I think even now he had an idea that he was going to go back. He had already purposed in his spirit that he was going to make his way back to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem he would make his way to Rome, and he already knew this was it. This end of this missionary journey was the beginning of the end of his race for Christ. And he had an understanding of that. It would take years, and we got a long ways to go to get there, but he knew that. I think there was a sense that it might be the last time he would see them. And I don't want to be too morbid tonight, but here's the truth, friends. Tonight might be the last time we see each other. It would be a shame to walk away with people in this church not knowing that we all love each other. So it ought to be evident. He embraced them. He hugged them. He loved them. And it was evident in that embracing. Let people know that you love them. Now, I'll just give a little side note here. If you really, really love Bill Don, don't give him a hug. The best way you can show him love is by not giving him a hug. See? You got to know somebody well enough to know that, though, right? So there's embracing. Number two, exhorting. Look at verse 2. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. Not only should our love for one another be evident in our actions, our love should be filled with the word of God towards edification.
Amen.
When he had gone over those parts, he had given them much exhortation. How did he do that? He preached the word.
Amen.
He encouraged them in the word of God. He exhorted them in the word of God. What does that mean? You guys know exhort means to call alongside. It's the idea of comforting someone. It's the idea of this. We're running a race. We're running a race, and we're saying to those running with us, come on, let's go.
Amen.
Stay up here. Let's move. Let's run together. I've already bored you guys to death with my exploits of my track career in high school. The only athletic award I ever got in my whole life was most improved trackster. That's when I moved from the worst guy on the track team to the next to the last worst guy on the track team. But it was a major improvement, okay? But I'll never forget running those races. One of my races was the open half. We ran parts of miles back then. We didn't run meters because we were American schools then. In an open half, it means it's open. We had multiple people from different schools, different teams running the race at the same time. So there might be two or three of us from Vian running together in the same race. And that was always really cool because we could run together and we could encourage each other. That's the idea of exhortation. Listen, it's not somebody standing in the pulpit saying, hey, you guys go get them. It's somebody running together saying, hey, let's go.
Amen.
It's together. It's together. And so he was going around saying, continue walking with Christ. Continue running the race that Christ has set before you. Continue. And he exhorted them much. He gave them a lot of exhortation. And it was very needful. We ought to lift each other up.
Amen.
We got to lift each other up. And it's not just what happens from here. It's what happens all the time out there.
Amen.
Man, we need exhortation in this world today.
Amen.
Some of you guys are going to go home, and you're going to flip on the news, and all of the joy of the day is going to drain from your hearts and minds within seconds of turning on the news.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a slight little hint in case you didn't know this. You don't have to watch it. You can survive without flipping on the local news.
Amen.
Some of you need to know that.
Amen.
You're like, well, I need the weather. Listen, I'll text it to you. Call me. I'll give it to you. You don't have to watch all that nonsense just to find out what the weather's going to be like tomorrow.
Amen.
You could be like me and never watch the weather and just wake up and see what happens.
Amen.
It kind of turns into a disaster some days, but, you know, it's Oklahoma. It's been hot. Now it's not as hot. It'll be this way for a little while.
Amen.
And at some point, it'll get cold.
Amen.
Well, how are you going to know if it's going to rain or not? They don't know either.
Amen.
We exhort one another. We need that encouragement. And some of you, we'll step away from church, and you'll think about the things of the world between now and Wednesday night or now and next Sunday. And I'm telling you, you need to fill your hearts and minds with the Word of God.
Amen.
Every day. And you need to take the Word of God that God has put in your heart and mind, and you need to share it with other people and exhort them. So there's embracing, there's exhorting, and then lastly, there's encouraging. There's encouraging. Look at verse 3. There abode 3 months. When the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return into Macedonia. And look at this. There accompanied him into Asia, Sopater, Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. This was encouraging. I just want you to get this. These were people from different churches all around the known world at that time. These were men who were faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had a heart to give to those who were in need. Remember, they had gathered up offerings, and essentially here's what Paul had told them. If you've got enough when I come, then I'll take that offering, and if it's not enough, I'll come back later and get it when it's enough. I mean, he was like, listen, we're going to help those people, and you need to give. And he said, so what you have are representatives of different churches who had gathered up for the saints at Jerusalem, and they were faithfully serving God. They had liberally given for the people in need. And so you had generous, loving, faithful servants of God from all over coming together to go and love the brethren at Jerusalem.
Amen.
If that's not encouraging, I don't know what is.
Amen.
If that's unencouraging, to be able to gather with other saints who are like-minded, who have a desire to love and serve others, I don't know what's encouraging. I mean, this is awesome. I'm going to tell you this. Some of you have been real serious about walking with Jesus for a long time. Some of you are just now getting real serious about walking with Jesus, and some of you need to get serious about walking with Jesus. And wherever you're at, let me tell you this, there are going to be times when you feel like you're all alone. You're going to be like Elijah and think you're the only one. And I'm just here to tell you, you're not alone.
Amen.
You're not alone. And it is encouraging to see others and serve with others who have a desire to further the kingdom.
Amen.
Of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's encouraging to know that you're not alone. They accompanied him. They were together with him. And I love it. Verse 5 says, these going before tarried for us at Troas. They gathered there and waited. So they had a place together. And then he says, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. We all came together and we all went on this journey together. And what a beautiful picture of what we ought to be doing today. Loving each other. Embracing each other, loving each other, exhorting one another, loving each other, encouraging one another by serving the Lord, by serving others together.
Amen.
Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song to close out.